And because I work with the silicone organza, it's very transparent and showcase sometimes a body silhouette from far away and then show the patchwork as well. So view from distance, optical illusion gives you more depth and value. And then that translates really interesting design that I'm really proud of the design project. So I do a lot of collaborative work. The reason I was able to do both, not just traditional research, because I collaborate. I don't dare write research paper by myself. I just can't. Because sometimes I have to I have to work with others, researchers who are good at certain things. And design also too. If I work with other people, I can create more and new ideas.
Welcome to another episode of Innovation Insights, where we dive deep into the minds shaping the future of industries through innovation, creativity, and groundbreaking research. We believe that innovation happens in all aspects of life. I am your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders. Today, we're honored to speak of Dr. Kim Hahn, an accomplished academic and innovative designer. Dr. Hahn holds a bachelor's degree from Yonsei University in Seoul, Korea, a master's in fashion design, and a doctorate in fashion merchandising and design from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Dr. Hahn is the Associate Dean of the College of Arts and a full professor in the School of Fashion at Kent State University. She is known for her groundbreaking research on technology, sustainability, and consumer behavior in fashion. Her work has been recognized with the 2018 President's Faculty Excellence Award at Kent State University and the International Textile and Apparel Association Award for Innovative Design Scholarship, among numerous other awards. Dr. Hahn has been featured in numerous international exhibitions and has had over 40 original wearable artworks in juried exhibition. Today, we will discuss her journey from student to associate dean, her innovative design approach, and how she envisions the future of fashion education and industry trends. Prepare to be inspired by the insights and experiences of Dr. Kim Hahn. So let's dive in and welcome Dr. Hahn to the show. Dr. Hahn, how are you today?
Good. Thank you, Yolanda, for a very nice introduction. And thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. We've known each other, I think, since you started your master's degree at University of Nebraska.
97.
Yeah, yes. Oh, my goodness. I was finishing up my PhD. You were starting. And I've been just a big fan ever since. And
I'm your big fan and my mentor. Yeah. Model.
You're so kind. You're so kind. Every time I see you, it just puts a smile on my face. Oh. So this is just a great way for me to start the day. Would you tell us a little bit about your journey from Yonsei University in Seoul, Korea to University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and then now at Kent State?
My journey began when I first experienced alcohol as a failure. The last summer of my senior year in college, I interned at LG Fashion, working as a golf wear designer. At the end of the internship, I had an opportunity to be hired as a designer for the same position. There was an English test, there was a practical fashion drawing test, and then interviews at the end with the executive to get the job. And I didn't get the job. And the feedback I got was, your English score very high, but we don't think you'd be a good fit to be a designer for us. So you might get better off be a buyer. So good luck. So after that, rather than apply for another job in Korea, I decided to attend graduate school in the States. Study and, you know, refining my fashion designer skills, and I really wanted to study in the States for a long time. So I studied for the GRE, developed my portfolio for the last of my senior year in college. I really wanted to go to New York. New York is known for Fashion City, and that's where everybody want to go to study, Parsons, FIT. But as the youngest child in the family, my father still considered me as a baby. He wouldn't let me go alone in the big city like New York. So he made me apply mainly to schools in Midwest, middle of nowhere, not nearly close to any big city. And luckily, I was accepted into University of Nebraska, Lincoln, where I met Dr. Yolanda Sanders as my instructor for the summer AutoCAD class. I think it was 1998. I studied in 97, but I think it was I took that class following summer. So here I am. After that, I studied there about 97 until 2005. I got both my master's and PhD and landed my tenure track position at University of Wisconsin Stout. I got tenure promoted there, and there was opportunity at Kent State as associate level, and I applied and got the job and came to Kent State 2011.
Oh, gosh. I always forget about that class that I taught.
I still have the portfolio I developed. I could not throw that away. But that class taught me so much, the basic skill of AutoCAD. Any program you learn, it stays with you. And then I can apply, I've been learning OptiText, Clo3D. The base for AutoCAD goes everywhere. So I'm really thankful that I had a Dr. Sanders as my instructor. It was a lifesaver. And who achieved my career.
You're very kind. You're very kind. Oh, would you talk about your master's thesis and your dissertation research too?
Yeah, my advisor at the time was Dr. Barbara Trout. She's a well-known fashion professor in Nebraska. And I had no idea what I'm supposed to do, but I developed about collection that inspired by my culture, Korean culture, Eastern culture, and then American sportswear designer, and created my own work as a bad thing. I had about 14 different design projects exhibited at the Robert Hissett Gallery as my masterpiece project. It's called Option 2 Project. I believe they still have that. Now I realized how rigorous I was. Looking at other MFA program around the country. And now I think what I did actually was more of Master of Fine Arts rather than just Master of Arts. It took me a little bit longer than just regular 2 years. It took me 2.5 years to complete, but I'm really thankful all the knowledge and skills, including Dr. Sanders' class and all the things I was able to experience at the time. Grateful. And then again, I wanted to be a costume designer, actually. I did a minor in costume designing when I was in Lincoln. I worked there as a costume shop with the theater department. I really enjoyed that process. So I was going to go to Hollywood, become a costume designer, movie set, costume designers, and things like that. But it was a long journey. I guess I didn't have the courage to do that. And then the opportunity came to apply for a PhD program in Lincoln. I did, and I was accepted. And then there was no design PhD at that time. So I had to change my focus to be more merchandising, customer behavior, taking a lot of classes from marketing business department in Lincoln, which had a really great program. And I'm really grateful all the courses I was able to take there. And then I worked with Dr. Rita Keene as my advisor, which is super lucky. So many great professors in Lincoln. And I worked for Dr. Robert Hilson, who gave me all the studio experience, all the handcraft that I was able to do. It's just working for him every week, 20 hours a week. He fed me breakfast, coffee, and wonderful music. It was just great experience I had at Lincoln. I cannot exchange for anything. That's really, I cherish that moment, that 8 years in my early, late 20s. So I got my PhD and then move on to my academic career from there.
We are so correct. Such amazing people to work with. Just kudos of their time and their knowledge and patience. And I want to get all of them on this podcast
please,
to capture their stories. And I just was laughing as you were talking about working with Dr. Hilston, because I too worked with him, and you and I have discussed the, I think we ate more than worked.
Yes. And very fresh. He likes to go to farmer's market every weekend. And this is what I picked up from farmer's market. It's so fresh, so good. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Trips to the thrift store.
Yes.
Oh, and then, of course, tassel making,
fiber berries. I still make those for my design work. Yes, I miss those times, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, you've talked about your research and your dissertation because you worked with Rita Kane, fashion merchandising, who's one of the leaders in that area, especially in rural retail and consumer behavior, things like that. How has that informed your work as a faculty member? Because as a faculty member, you really have had two tracks. You've had the creative scholarship plus the merchandising.
That really helped me who I am right now, make me really strong. And because it is really unique to either you do design work or you do the traditional consumer behavior work. But I was able to do both because I had a great foundation in Lincoln, I think great professor who allowed me to do what I wanted to do. So even design, Dr. Trout let me have my heritage, my Eastern cultural experience to be focus of my design work. Dr. King also, I did the self-control, which is the difference between Eastern and Western independent and interdependent concept I was really interested in. And she said, yeah, that's what you want to do that. So that's, I think that really helped me coming from who I am, the foundation. And to do both made me really be able to do, I think that's what I try to do with my students to let them drive their own research and let them drive their own design, because that really comes from their own passion and that will be really theirs, not told by other people to what to do.
Well, I will say too that it's also prepared you to be an excellent mentor, because I know faculty who you have mentored who have spoken highly of your ability to mentor them as tenure track new assistant professors, and you're very well respected.
Thank you for saying that. And that's kind of my, you know, what I receive, I try to give back to allow people to have that freedom and be themselves rather than tell them what to do.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
And so I am also sure that it's informing your role as an associate dean. And would you talk a little bit about that? Because I think many people may not know what is an associate dean.
Yeah.
What does an associate dean do?
Great question. I did not know a year ago because I started this role July 1st as an interim and then became permanent starting April 8th. When I was focused on design research and teaching design or merchandising, I was just heavily involved in researching the fashion industry, what consumers are shopping, consumers seeking inspiration from nature, other designers around the world. However, after becoming associate dean, my world is shifted to university policy, curriculum, budgeting, which I haven't considered much before. And realize that fashion is just one of the disciplines in the university. Any decision about curriculum change, budget, policy, you really need to think about the broader context in the university and how our university in relation to the states, because we are a public university. So now my current role really helped me understand the big picture of things, not just small, narrow fashion industry, but thinking about other majors, other education, health department are doing. What are the business department doing? How are we doing things differently? And what we can learn from other schools or colleges that we can do our job better. So I feel like I'm becoming more like a lawyer from designer. So it's a huge jump, and I'm reading every policy, every rule, and see, are we following this? How are we not compliant? What can we do things differently? What are the processes we have to follow, and how I can inform faculty and school directors and the dean how we can do things better and make everybody's job better. So I think associate deans helping other people do their job efficiently and in the right way.
It's a big job. It's a big job. And it's just much policy and management, and lucky to have you in that role.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I think it's my personality. So I love it. I love coming to work, and because every day is different. Every day some new things come up that I haven't known. Oh, I didn't know about that. And I do start researching and finding policies and rules and what we do.
Well, yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. And again, they're so lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, just to take a little bit of a shift, I'd like to go back and talk about your work as a designer. Your designs have just loved your design work, and I've been impressed that the innovation and the creativity, but also the techniques that you use and the quality of the work that you create is just spectacular. And you have done some collaborations with your husband too, which is there's been some wife and husband teams over the years, but you don't hear about it a lot lately. And so when you talk about your creative scholarship and your designs.
I work with my husband a lot. Actually, I'm not that creative. I am very much the attention to detail. I execute things. A lot of ideas my husband gave me, which is, he has ADHD. But it's hard to execute anything from him because he gets distracted and things like that. But he gives me all the great ideas and how to solve problems. Fabric strip weaving is one of the techniques that I've been mainly using. And that came from him. And when I was working with the denim, start weaving that. And then when the fabric started raveling, he gave me an idea. Why don't you just cut the fabric and bias? And then I had an aha moment. Oh, yeah, that stops raveling. And then all the digital work, because he's good at technology, Photoshop, a lot of digital work was done by him. When I have three design projects I like to share with you. First one is Vitreous Fractures, I didn't credit my husband enough, but he gave me idea about color gradient and how you can do the weaving and then create another optical illusion coming from that surface. So that design won the 2015 ITAA Creative and Innovative Employment of Tech. 21 separate linear gradients were printed on silk organza, creating a more surface color optical illusion and more like a value you can see from the fall away. I developed a single continuous pattern piece for the dress, eliminating shoulder seams, because when you start weaving things, you can't really have too many seams to create that look. Because I work with the silk organza, it's very transparent and showcase sometimes a body silhouette from far away, and then show the patchwork as well. So view from distance, optical illusion gives you more depth and value. And then that translate really interesting design that I'm really proud of, the design project that I'm very much proud of. Another one, so I do a lot of collaborative work. The reason I was able to do both, not just traditional research, because I collaborate. I don't dare write research paper by myself. I just can't. Because sometimes I have to I have to work with others, researchers who are good at certain things, and design also too. If I work with other people, I can create more and new ideas. Design work that I like to highlight is the irritated tradition, Navajo people. wearing yellow dust of uranium toxicity that was done in 2017 and won ITAA Award for Innovative Design Scholarship. This design was originally created for the Hope and Trauma in Poison Land exhibited in Arizona, where artists explored the impact of uranium mining on Navajo lands and people. The exhibition featured Navajo stories and perspectives on uranium radiation and its effect. And then I worked with Dr. Ann Collier, who used to work in Arizona, who found me this opportunity. So we worked with the Navajo weaver, Jane Lily Benali, who created a weaving rug, woven rug, that tells the story of how uranium toxicity has permanently changed Navajo family and their tribal lives. So inspired that her rug, we developed the fabric and felted the fabric. I created a whole outfit, has a top and skirt. I did my weaving for the top. And then we did the sterile printed silk organza cape to show the uranium poison on the garment. So that was a great project, and that has won the scholarship, and it has been traveling. I haven't seen that work for over 2-3 years. It's been exhibiting in different galleries around the country. Third project is Weaving for Justin. It's a two-piece 1970s inspired look designed to honor those who are killed and injured in the May 4th shooting on Kent State University campus. And that work was also a collaboration with my graduate student, Evelyn Russell. We created when there was an exhibition for Kent State University Museum for May 4th, 50th year commemoration, we developed that project together. So now that piece is acquired by Kent State University Museum. It doesn't belong to me anymore, but I'm very proud of that project. Also, that was one of the first design projects where I created triaxial weaving. Before that time, I just did two-axial weaving, but that one is where you do the three different angles of triaxial weaving, and that's the one that we created together. So that design was developed to both commemorate tragic history events, inspire others to continue the pursuit of activism, social justice, by applying my hand techniques, digital textile printing, and then hope to honor those people who gave up their lives to stand up for what they believe.
Amazing, amazing. And what one thing that I love is that your work, you're using it to communicate and tell stories too, which is so important. And sometimes people do not think about designers as storytellers, that they're doing that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I would like to continue to do that. But new role, it's getting a little bit difficult, but I'd like to do more scholarship I can then. And yeah, I didn't realize you say that, but yeah, I do love telling the story, not just creating something nice and beautiful, but showing more behind the story of the event or things happen or making more proactive. People ought to think about it.
Yeah, and you're really using your medium that way to communicate about cultures and justice and diversity and inclusion. Thank you. Talking about your consumer behavior research and technology and sustainability, what are some projects that you'd like to highlight or that have been impactful or important to you?
Yeah, so early on, now I realize I was looking at my Vita, all the research I've done, it's almost 10 years ago, but I guess that's how much our consumer behavior evolved. Early on, I studied about online review, how people perceive things differently or how they purchase things differently based on online review. And I also did how consumer make purchase decision based on their personal perception, individual differences. I guess because my background, I was very much interested in how people shop differently because they perceive themselves differently or how they think differently. each individual is different. And then early on, I did the fashion blogger studies, one of the things that I'm very much interested in that topic, how people view fashion blogger differently based on the look of their age and their ethnic background. So we manipulated, we had an Asian blogger versus Caucasian blogger. And then also we manipulated their age. One was older, one was younger, and how that changed perception of consumers. So I think early on, I was very much interested in how individual difference affect on consumer behavior online. And then we did also, I guess I might like a research focus shift based on the trend. So some of the work I did was a 3D printing fashion products, but I realized that was very much early stage of 3D. So there was not much data or consumer wasn't very much interested in 3D fashion because it's stiff, not soft, it's not like a cloth. But maybe if I do that research again, maybe their perception might be different. And then I also did how the virtual prototype of 2D, 3D, how that affects the student learning for fashion designers. So I guess my research evolved with the trends of the fashion and what's happening in the education. So my interest changed, shifted over time. And then I also did a sustainability study, how perception of fashion designers are sustainability, who they think is responsible. And then everybody was pointing a finger at each other. And I thought that was interesting. And also consumers back then wasn't very much interested. They say they would like to shop sustainably, but they end up not shopping sustainably. They are still shopping for fast. They are going for fast fashion because it's cheaper, the best deal. But I think now it's changing with the new generation. I do have a hope for sustainability. And I think a lot of things have changed. Now I look at my research work. I think I might have to do another research because a lot of things have changed what I observe. So I think we constantly have to learn and do more as a researcher. Every day, I think new things come up. And now with the AI, a lot of things are going to be different, right? So I think we really have to adapt to what's happening. And that's our job to learn new things every day and then inform others what to do next.
Just listening to you talk about your research, I really feel like you were really ahead. You said you were following trends, but I feel like you were ahead of trends in many ways. And for our audience, I feel it would be interesting for them to go back and look at some of your research, because as I've started this podcast and the blogging and the influencer, and so your research in that area really was at forefront. And perceptions about 3D and 3D printing, definitely at the forefront of that. And I love what you said about learning. Yeah, we just...
And that's something, like I said, those ideas came from other co-researchers I work with. I'm very fortunate to work with a junior level faculty who has a great idea. And then what I'm good at is pushing them, executing. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's get it done. And that's something, like I said, those ideas came from other co-researchers I work with. I'm very fortunate to work with a junior level faculty who has a great idea. And then what I'm good at is pushing them, executing. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Right. Yeah, so that's why I was able to be forefront, and I cannot get credit for all the research topic, but those are people who gave me idea, and then I helped them execute. I think I'm very good at that part.
Well, and I love what you're saying about collaborating, because it really, you do have to have people to work with, to discuss things and get ideas with, and then work together to execute. Yeah. I absolutely agree. So you and your co-authors, it'll be fun to feature some of your past work and also see what you do in the future too.
I'd love to.
What are some trends that you see in the future for the fashion world, especially you mentioned AI. Woo!
I know. That scares me what AI can do now. Yeah. It's scary. And so technology is going to be essential in our fashion world, I think, before. And I know we do have kind of two different disciplines in our education, design and merchandising. I think that's going to be blurry moving forward. It's going to be just fashion, or it's going to be focused on sustainability and technology rather than design or merchandising. And I strongly want to believe the art of crafting will remain highly valued. I want to believe that. Because some craftsmanship, even AI, I don't think they can be the hand. Human craftsmanship cannot be replaced by machine, robot. At least what I would like to believe. So I think we need to hold on to as much as the human touch as we can. And I think we need to learn how we can use AI to refine our craftsmanship better, rather not the other way around. And I like to have us to think about how we can use AI as a tool to enhance our product or enhance our design work, not control by AI. That's my hope.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm playing around with that coloring book series on knitwear. And so trying to generate images of a Fair Isle knit versus Antarctica knit, AI has no clue. No clue at all. You know, I'll come back with something that's a cable knit.
And I don't think AI can do the triaxial weaving with the color gradient. That's going to be too much complicated. I don't know. It can go underneath two layers of a script to do that. I don't know if any machine can do that.
I don't think so either. So I agree with you. And I also hope that the handcrafts and those refined techniques stay alive. Yeah, everything's a cycle and comes back and forth. And so we'll be on this, so then everyone will crave, oh, let me touch something.
I think so. I think if people hopefully get tired of automatic things and then, oh, yeah, we have to value this handcrafted. It took hours and hours to do this. I hope people value that more. Yeah.
I hope so, too. Yeah. Oh. Well, we've talked a little, explored cultural factors in fashion. How do you feel that's important in innovation and in creativity?
Yeah, in my design process, most of my creations are deeply influenced by my cultural heritage, Korea. I strongly believe that is a unique perspective that set my work apart from other people. And then it was very instrumental in my work. I believe we should cherish and honor each individual heritage and distinct viewpoint. Even you're not from different culture. I mean, you know, we all different culture. But these elements should be integrated to our own work or design. I think any one of us possess unique experience. Not everybody have same experience, childhood perspective. Or histories, family histories. And that should be shared through art and design or our research. I think creativity, craftsmanship goes hand in hand. And things that we cherish, those things can be cherished for a long time. I would like to create more work that can be remembered and can remember as me if I have a chance to do more. And I hope what I have done is remembered by other people. How that represent myself.
Oh, well, I hope so too. I hope so too.
And you too, Dr. Sanders, you create so many great work.
Oh, thank you. It's been so long, it seems.
But, you know, we see it, and that's Dr. Sanders' work. So you've done it.
No, you're very kind. Please call me Yolanda. Oh, my goodness. You know, in some of our conversations over the years, we've talked about diversity within academia. And we're both, one being women in academia is a challenge, but then also diverse women. And so what, as an Asian faculty member, what have been some opportunities and challenges that you have encountered?
So as an Asian faculty member in various leadership roles that I have, I did encounter obstacles and hardships. And I cannot just blame others for that. It's contributing to myself, putting high expectation for myself. I always felt like I need to work 8 times harder than those non-minor faculty and leaders. Although I was not born in the States, I've lived here longer than in Korea, I realize now. But I still experience cultural shock because I wasn't born here and grew up here. And my perceptions are very different from those who were born here and raised here in the state. And of course, it's going to be different from any person of color who experience hardships as well. In these challenges, I learned to what I've learned over the years. I always look at the silver lining, positive side, and then I think about, you know, things happen for a reason. And I just focus on my job. And then try to do well and put all my best efforts, whatever I do. And also following my father's advice, always putting myself in other people's shoes. So by doing so, I've been able to overcome the difficulties, experience, and focusing on moving forward rather than looking back to the past, regretting things, or just being self-centered. So drawing from my cultural background, my father's teachings, I have learned to prioritize others before myself and consider their perspectives, which has been very instrumental in my personal and professional.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Has being an Asian faculty member and your cultural background also impacted your mentorship? Because again, I've heard such wonderful things from your colleagues over the years of how you mentor. And you've spoken a little bit about it, about letting people, you know, find their way, do what they love. But are there any other things that you bring from your culture or from, you've mentioned your father, from some of those experiences when you mentor faculty or students?
Yeah, so I see a lot of junior faculty comparing themselves to others or think about what other people think about themselves. And I always tell them, just focus on yourself. Just focus on your job. Then you're going to be further, much higher, longer way than people you're talking about right now. And I think that really helped. And I think that's my father's teaching, you put yourself in others and then just focusing on yourself, not self-centered, but yeah, just focusing on your job and do well. That really, and that's the advice I give to junior faculty too. And just focus on yourself and don't compare yourself to others. Don't listen to other people about you. You're just you. And just do your job.
That's great advice. And many of our guests have said that too, that focus on get done what I need to get done and block out that noise. Yeah. Do you have any other advice for new faculty entering academia?
So I said, I would like to maybe set a goal for yourself every day and then plan, manage your time wisely. And then something relate to you love to do every day, just for 5 minutes. And that's what I do. I try to do my design work. I even go to my sewing room and then just fabric one place to the other. Just give me, okay, I did something today. I'll do something more next day. So just a little bit doing something, you can go farther away, I think. I know we are busy doing teaching, service, but just do something, even 2 minutes, 3 minutes every day, and then you can make a progress.
That's fabulous advice. Do something every day that you truly love.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. And for fashion, it's touching fabric every day.
Yeah, that's what I did yesterday. I touched something. Okay, this is my next project. I'm going to cut. Maybe I'll cut the fabric tomorrow.
Again, you have just a vast experience from industry experience, academic experience. What advice would you give aspiring fashion designers?
So I want to share the advice I wish I had received 30 years ago to myself. So instead of focusing on what's directly in front of you, maybe look further ahead. Maybe looking at the opportunity in the horizon. I regret not going to Hollywood and becoming a costume designer. Maybe I should have done that. Maybe I could have more experience, industry experience. And then maybe embrace challenges. It may lead to the opportunity. One of the advice I got, if you counter two different roles, one is easy, one is difficult, take the difficult road and see what comes up. I wish I had the advice 30 years ago to myself. Like I could have more opportunities or experience that maybe I may not have now. But that's just me. But yeah, take challenges and look further ahead than just what's in front of you.
Great advice. And I do want to say it's not too late for you to be a costume designer.
No, I think so.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if I can compete with AI. Our AI can make movies now. So I don't know if they can create some creative costumes too.
Yeah, but are they going to have the historical knowledge and the...
Maybe not. I think you still do it.
And if you need a design assistant or like a seamstress or something.
Oh, yes. You can come with me.
So I'll go with you. I could carry your bags.
No. Yeah, maybe we can walk on the red carpet someday. Hollywood red carpet. Oh,
to know where that love came from too, because I also spent some time in the theater department at University of Nebraska Lincoln and working with Janice Stauffer and
Janice Stauffer.
I understand, so I hear you there. So again, if you need someone to carry your luggage for you,
maybe we'll go together. I'll be your assistant.
No. Oh, well, you mentioned that, you know, you were in the studio and you kind of, you're thinking about some future projects, it sounds like. Do you have any that you can share with us?
Well, I'm into sustainability too. So I have collected a lot of fabrics and now I'm looking at I start bringing ITAA poster presentation in fabric. And now I have so many of those fabrics. So I'm trying to think, how can I use those printed presentation fabric and then turn it into some design work. Yeah, that's where I am, but we'll see.
I can't wait to see what comes of that. Oh, that will be amazing.
The most recent work we did was because my parents accumulated a lot of masks. Because in Korea, they're wearing masks religiously. So they had this pile of masks. Dr. Jaya Huang and I created several designs just with the masks. And that has been showcased in fiber artwork and then surface design journals. So we're very proud of that. And now one of them is invited for the site exhibition in California. So yeah, Carlsbad. And hopefully I can go look at it during our ITAA Long Beach this year. So we'll see.
Oh, congratulations. And what a great idea, because, you know, what are people doing with all the masks? I think people are still wearing them some, but there's a lot of fabric. There's a lot of fabric that was used.
It's one of the time in the history. And like, I like to tell the story and then snapshot of what's really happened to us. Yeah. In 2020 to 2022. So, yeah, that's another thing that I like to tell the story. My design world, hey, this happened. And this is from because of all the mask, this design work was created.
I learned so much every time I talk to you.
Well, you
have shared so many words of wisdom. Do you have any other words of encouragement or insights that you'd like to leave our audience with?
So I think I'm looking at your notes. Because your innovation insights, I think you, one of the questions was, how do you define innovation? And I had a note here, innovation can be defined as a process of introducing new ideas, method, or product to bring positive change, improve society, and contribute to the society, but cannot be done without trial and error. And that's how I develop my design work. I cannot do the new work without doing the previous work. I made a mistake, and I think we constantly use that. Only new ideas can be developed through failure. I first introduced my failure, becoming a fashion designer, and also experience and learning really from your trial and error really help you develop new idea. And I think that's innovation. AI cannot do that, I don't think. Maybe.
No. Well, you know, it's funny because, well, I love that you talk about failure, because so many times people are like afraid of that word or trying something and it might fail and how important that is. But with AI, it's funny because, you know, sometimes at one point, I think ChatGPT had a thumbs up and a thumbs down. But I think right now it just has a thumbs down. You can click on that and you don't like the response that you got. But it's like, oh, well, okay. ChatGPT, well, you know, we give you some positive feedback.
Well, yeah, I think only human can do learn from our failure or our trial and error, and then do things better and come up with the new ideas from that. And the experience that we have cannot be changed by computer, I don't think.
Exactly. And it's okay. It's okay to fail.
Yeah, I think it's good. Failing is good. If you do good for the first time, you're not going to learn anything. And you're not going to try to do better. So I think room to grow and improve is good. And that helps go on advance harder.
Well, thank you for joining our podcast. And
thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You were at the top of the list of people that I wanted to interview. I'm so glad that we got you here. And our conversation really has taken us through your whole journey through the fashion industry and your research and your approach to creative scholarship. And you're so interdisciplinary in your work, and truly appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be part of your podcast.
Oh, thank
you.
Thanks so much. For our audience, we hope that you enjoyed hearing Dr. Kim Han's insights and her thoughts about the evolving landscape of fashion and technology and sustainability. And she has provided some aspiring advice to designers, academics, and industry professionals. If you'd like to learn more about her work and connect with her, we'll have that information at the end of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and to catch more interviews with some amazing thought leaders and innovators. So keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.